1 Corinthians 9, from verse 24 to the end of the chapter, verse 27. This is the conclusion of this chapter. And the heading over the top of this chapter in my Bible is The Rights of an Apostle. There's some truth in that, but I think it's a poor heading. Yes, Paul does spell out his rights. But what he really does spell out in this chapter is this, that he has forsaken his rights as an apostle. He has given up those rights for a bigger, greater end and aim and purpose. And this paragraph in this present discourse is the climax, the conclusion of that setting out of the apostle forsaking his rights that he might accomplish a greater end and purpose. And what is that purpose? What is his aim? What makes him tick? Well, he has told us again and again. He says that what consumes him is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he wants to preach it freely, without any charge. Now, he's giving up his rights here. It is a principle that those who labor in the gospel should receive support for that labor. But he has given that right up. Why? Because he particularly wants to set an example. He's going to preach it freely because, of course, the point of the gospel is this, that it is free to sinners. It is free grace, free gospel grace, free grace in Christ that we preach. We don't preach law, works, deserves, earnings, merits, duties. We preach Christ, and we preach Christ, the free grace of God in Christ. And that's his determination. And he does it for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the sinners who hear him. He wants to see sinners saved. He longs to see sinners saved. He is consumed with this passion. And he does it, preach the gospel freely, to see sinners saved. And he'll eat gravel, I was going to say. He'd bend over backwards. He'll suffer any privation to preach freely, the gospel freely to sinners. And he knows that's his reward. That's his honor and blessing. He knows that a treasure is laid up for him. He therefore will spend and be spent to give himself for the saving of sinners. Not that he can save them, to convert sinners, not that he can convert them, but that God will use his ministry, and he knows it's by the preaching of the cross, the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the blood of Christ. He knows it's the preaching of the crucified Christ. I am resolved, determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He knows that this is saving for sinners, edifying for the people of God, and he will do it. Now, in this paragraph, he compares himself to an athlete. Of course, the Greeks were very knowledgeable, very used to this idea of the games. Not only the Olympic, there were many games. Olympic games, perhaps the chief one we know about, but there were many games in those days. And Paul works on this principle. And of course, this is highly relevant to us. In fact, sport is one of the great gods of the age. Men devote themselves to sport, mostly to watching it, to being entertained by it. But the principle about the sport here that the apostle draws out is this, for those who take part in it. So he likes it to a race. He said there are many runners. Now, they've all got their mind set on one thing, the tape, and the prize beyond the tape. They are determined to reach the tape and to win. And it's not just that Saturday afternoon on the race. It's been the weeks, the months, the long nights, winter nights, out training, disciplining themselves, running, preparing, circuit training, and all the rest of it. Now, I have observed these people. I'm not criticizing them. I'm just observing. I have seen how the devotees of this will buy the magazines And they'll pore over them, making their notes, drawing up their charts, working out their routine, governing their diet, their sleep, what they eat, how they eat, when they eat, when they run, when they jog, when they race, when they walk, whatever it is, setting their minds on the next race, preparing. They've got it all marked out. They take their times. They record it all. And what are they aiming for? They're aiming to lower their own best time, to win the next race, and above all, to win the prize. And of course, right at the top of the tree in our day, the Olympics, to get the Olympic gold. I'm not belittling it. These people consume themselves and are consumed by it. They spend their lives at that stage in their life. They spend their days, their nights, their thinking. They forsake other things. They give up career and studies and everything to win this race. And some will go to extreme lengths and even harm themselves to get the prize. And where does Paul work on this? Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? After all that training. And so he says to the believer, as he says to himself, run in such a way as to get the prize. Aim for the prize. Now he goes back to the illustration. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. Now I'm not belittling the gold medal. But in the end, it will not last. It will perish. There's a hymn I should quote at the end by Philip Doddridge. And in this hymn, he talks about this. The time when victors' wreaths and monarchs' gems shall blend in common dust. Let me repeat that. When victors' wreaths and monarchs' gems shall blend in common dust. Paul says, they do it to get a crown that will not last. But what do I do this for? Why do I discipline myself? Why do I bend over backwards to reach sinners? Why am I so determined to preach the gospel to sinners? We do it, he says, I do it, to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore I don't run like a man running aimlessly, pointlessly. I have my routine. I have my order. I have my system. You may say, well, this is law. This is rule. It's his own discipline of himself. He's not under a rule and a regime, as it were, imposed on him. He's given himself up willingly to this. He delights in it. I've seen people given up to this training system, they wouldn't think it's an irksome thing at all. Nor does Paul. It's not irksome to me, he says. I'm aiming for an end here. I'm reaching for the salvation of sinners. And I'm determined to reach them, and whatever the cost. I don't fight like a man beating the air, shadow boxing, punching nothing. No, I punch. Now, who do I punch? Myself. I punch my body. I beat my body and make it my slave. I don't let my body rule me. I rule my body. My body says, indulge yourself. I say, no, you do this. I make my body do what I want. My body does not make me do what I want. My body might say, well, relax here, ease here, lay off here, take it easy here, leave it to somebody. No, he says, I say to my body, get up, do this. Do this, do the other. I beat my body and make it my slave. Why? So that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Going back to 1 Corinthians 3. I want my work to last. Therefore, I will study every means. I will travel any distance. I will meet any cost to preach the gospel freely to sinners, that they may hear of Christ and believe and be saved. How shall I apply this? Well, let me apply it to the unbeliever, first of all. This paragraph does not apply to you at all in this sense. It's written to believers. It's in-house. It applies only to those who are in Christ. And these works and these duties and these rules that they've set for themselves, this discipline is entirely for the believer. It's nothing to do with you. You can do all this and it won't save you. You can do all the things you want to do, You set that for your systems. You can use any method or way you like. You invent for yourself. It won't work. You must come to Christ. You must believe and be saved. That is taken for granted in this passage. Unless you've repented and bowed the knee to Christ and received him as Savior and Lord and trusted in his precious blood to wash you, you are damned. Paul says, I do this for an eternal crown. The athletes do it for a crown that will not last. I do it for an eternal crown. I tell you, the way you're going, unbeliever, there is an eternal aspect to it. But it isn't an eternal blessing and bliss. It's eternal torment. I'm not going to pull the wool over your eyes. It is eternal damnation. Do you want that? Then trust Christ now. Trust him now. You see, I took it for granted. The answer must be no. Of course you don't want it. Well then, come to Christ. Come to Christ now. But this, as I say, is a word in-house for the believer. Believer, this is speaking to you. Brother, this is speaking to you. Sister, this is speaking to you. Now, is Paul just saying, now, this is what I'm like. This is what I do. And we stand back as a kind of spectator in the stands and we watch him running. Oh, that's lovely. Look how he ran there. Look how he did this. Let's have a replay. Is that what we're supposed to do? Time and again, he said in this passage, is for you too. Okay, how about verse 24? Run in such a way as to get the prize. That's telling you, brother. That's telling you, sister. I run in such a way as to get the prize. Now I'm telling you, my brother. Now I'm telling you, my sister, says Paul. This is for you. You've got to run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a prize. But we do it. We apostles, yes. But we believers do it. Brother, are you doing it to get a crown that will last forever? Are you in strict training for it? Sister, how about you? Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I don't fight like a man beating the air. I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I preach to others, I won't be disqualified. Do you do that, brother and sister? Well, I don't preach because I'm a sister. Of course you preach. All believers are ministers of the new covenant. We're all priests of Christ. We're all kings, actually. Royal priests. Come on, then. We should be in training. We should be in discipline. We should be strict about it. We should have an aim and a purpose. What God has called you to do, I cannot say. The way he's called you to do it, I do not know. I know he's given every believer a talent. Don't bury the talent, brother. Don't bury it, sister. Use it. Discipline yourself. Aim for the salvation of sinners. Look for the reward, the eternal crown. Don't let your body rule you. Rule your body. Don't let outside forces compel you. May you be compelled by the Spirit. And I say you. I say it for myself. And of course, preaching. We're all preachers. I preach many discourses. I write many books, or try to write books. But the first reader of my books must be myself. And the first hearer of my discourses must be me. I must preach to myself first. I must discipline myself. I must be a driven man. I must be a man of principle and order, a godly man. I must follow the apostle in this. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Aim for the salvation of sinners. Aim for the glory of God. Keep your eye on the eternal reward. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I said I would quote Philip Doddridge's hymn. I've given you a selection from it already. Let me just give you the five verses. Awake, my soul. Stretch every nerve and press with vigor on. A heavenly race demands thy zeal and an immortal crown. A cloud of witnesses around hold thee in full survey. Forget the steps already trod and onward urge thy way. 'Tis God's all-animating voice that calls thee from on high. 'Tis his own hand presents the prize to thine aspiring eye. That prize with peerless glories bright, which shall new lustre boast, when victors' wreaths and monarchs' gems shall blend in common dust. Blessed Saviour, introduced by thee, have I my race begun, and crowned with victory at thy feet, I'll lay my honours down. So said Philip Doddridge. Here's the apostle. Run in such a way as to get the prize. I do it, he says. We do it to get a crown that will last forever.